Chapter 16. The Hunt, the First Day. That night, standing on deck, Ahab suddenly raised his face and seemed to smell the air in the way that a dog does.
"A whale is near," he said. "I can smell it."
And he was right. Soon every man on watch could smell it. The strange smell of a living sperm whale. Ahab ordered the ship's course to be slightly changed, and at dawn, the patterns and bubbles on the sea showed that he had done the right thing.
"Call all the men," Ahab shouted.
Dagoo hit the deck hard several times with a large piece of wood, and all the frightened men seemed to appear immediately from below.
"What do you see?"
cried Ahab, shouting up to the lookout on the main masthead.
"Nothing, nothing, sir,"
was the reply which came down.
"Set all the sails," cried Ahab.
And when this was done, he made Starbuck tie him to a rope to pull him up the mast in his net again. When his head was just above the head of Tashtego, who was on the masthead, he cried out again,
"There she blows! There she blows! It is a hump like a snowy hill! It is Moby Dick!"
As Ahab spoke, the cry, "There she blows," seemed to come at exactly the same time from the lookouts on all three mastheads as well. All of us on deck rushed to the rigging and climbed up to see the famous whale which we'd been hunting for so long. The white hump could be seen, and a regular spout of water silently going up high into the air. To our amazement, it seemed to be the same silent spout that we had seen so long ago in the moonlit Atlantic and Indian Oceans.
"And did none of you see him before me?" cried Ahab.
"I saw him at almost the same moment, sir, and I cried out," said Tashtego.
"Not at the same time," cried Ahab. "The gold coin is mine. None of you saw the white whale before I did."
Then he cried again,
"There he blows. There he blows. Get three boats ready. Mr. Starbuck, stay on board and steer the ship. Lower me, lower me."
"The white whale is moving slowly away from us," said Starbuck. "He can't have seen the ship yet."
Soon all the boats except Starbuck's were in the sea with their sails set and oars ready, with Ahab's boat in front. Fedallah, standing at his harpooner's oar, looked pale and worried. The huge white hump with the wrinkled forehead moved smoothly through the water, which was as flat as a carpet. Behind the whale, there was a valley of small blue and white waves, and all around him flew white seabirds. One of them even landed on the top of a tall, broken lance, which we could see standing up in the whale's back. Everything about the whale seemed calm and beautiful, so it was strange for me to remember how many men and boats he had destroyed. Then suddenly, the whale jumped up out of the water, his body making a perfect arch before he disappeared from our sight. The three boats stopped moving and waited for him to appear again. One of the men pointed at a line of seabirds flying toward Ahab's boat, making excited cries. The birds knew more than the men did. Suddenly, Moby Dick's mouth, showing two long rows of white shining teeth, opened up out of the water near the boat. Ahab managed to steer the boat away from this frightening sight. Then he quickly moved to take hold of a harpoon in the bow while Fedallah steered the boat. But Ahab could do nothing as the whale took the bow into his jaws so that the bluish white inside of his mouth was only 6 inches from the captain's head. Then he shook the boat as a cat might shake a mouse. The rest of the terrified crew rushed to the stern where Fedallah stood, still and silent. No one could throw a harpoon or lance because everyone was so frightened. The men in the other boats could not help. Ahab seemed so angry that he grabbed hold of the whale's lower jaw with his hands, but the jaw slid away from him and the mouth closed on the small boat and broke it into two pieces.
The crew at the stern held on to the broken wood and their oars. Ahab fell into the sea. Moby Dick now moved a short distance away from his prey. He pushed his white head up and down in the water, and at the same time turned his body slowly round and round so that his head rose 20 or more feet into the air. From this position, a sperm whale can see everything around him. Waves crashed around Moby Dick's body as if they were crashing against a huge rock. When he fell back into the water, he swam more and more quickly round the wrecked crew. His tail crashed in the water as if he was angrily planning to attack them again. We could see Ahab's head looking like a small bubble as the wild water broke over him. His bone leg meant that he could not swim, but he could float. The crew, holding on to the broken boat, could do nothing, and Fadala was looking at Ahab as if he was already dead. The white whale swam more closely in a circle around Ahab and the broken boat. The other two boats did not try to rescue them in case they caused the whale to attack again. We could see all this from the ship's rigging. Starbuck had steered her toward the scene so that we were now so close that we could hear Ahab cry to Starbuck,
"Sail on the whale! Drive him off!"
Then, the Pequod's pointed bow parted the whale and his prey. As the angry whale swam off, Ahab was dragged into Stubbs' boat, almost blind because of the seawater in his eyes. He lay helpless on the bottom of the boat, making such awful cries that I cannot describe them. It was clear that he was extremely tired, but soon he pulled himself up, and when he was half sitting, half lying, we heard him speak.
"Have we lost any men?"
he asked.
"No, sir," said Stubb. "All five of them are here." "That's good," said Ahab. "Help me, man. I wish to stand."
When he was standing, he looked out over the sea and cried,
"I see him! There! There! I see his spout! I am ready to hunt again! Quick! Get ready to sail!"
When the boats, including the broken pieces of Ahab's boat, were back on the Pequod, we set all the ship's sails and followed the whale. The men at the mastheads called out regularly each time they saw the bright spout of water. Ahab walked on deck all day, not speaking except to call up to the lookouts. At last, night fell. The whale would travel more slowly at night, so Ahab ordered some of the sails to be taken down. Then, pointing to the gold coin on the mast, he said,
"Men, this gold is mine because I saw the white whale first, but I will leave it here until the whale is dead, and the man who saw him first on the day he is killed shall have the coin. And if on that day I see him first, I will share 10 times that amount of money between all of you."
Ahab stood on deck till dawn.